Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Pei Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Pei Hei. For those of you who like to count lines, you'll find our shiur begins 23 lines from the top of Daf Pei Hei. It might be easier to spot the beginning point by noticing the house shape. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. We indicate that this discussion continues till Omid Beis. The houses highlight she'elois, questions, b'inyan choivas ksuba utnohel l'isurei chitun. We saw in our Mishnah reference made to shnios, to a man and woman who are prohibited on a rabbinic level from marrying one another. And if they in fact do so the Mishnah indicated that the woman will lose her ksuba rights. The ksuba rights we explained in our previous shiur when we learned the Mishnah. This is a type of financial guarantee that a woman ordinarily receives, that in the event she's divorced or becomes a widow, she receives a payment, and a number of other provisions that we call the tnai ksuba. In the Mishnah, we had an example of a couple that were not allowed to get married in the first place. So as a result, if they were the prohibition known as shnios, an example that we cited then was one's mother's mother. One's mother is, of course, one cannot marry her, but one's mother's mother is someone that, technically speaking, one could marry, but the Rabbanon intervened and said, no, do not. There are other examples of shnios. We have learned them quite a bit earlier in this Masechta. The Gemara. Boru, and note, by the way, that this is a long question with an Aleph O Dilma Beis structure to it. Bo mine b'nei Biri Merav Sheshis. B'nei Biri is a reference to a place. The people that lived in Biri asked of Rav Sheshis. Shnio lebal velo shnio liyavam. Let us say, as opposed to the case in the Mishnah where we said a woman would lose her ksuba, and the Mishnah seemed to attach that to the situation where she was usher to the Baal and to the Ovam. She was usher to her husband, and in the event of his death, she would not be allowed to have married the Yovam either. And the example there we gave were, these were two brothers that come from the same mother and father. What happens in a case where she is a shnia, she is forbidden to the husband, to the tune of a shnia, meaning an isur derabonon to her husband. However, velo shnia liyavam, but she is not a shnia to the ovam. That could be a situation. We have two brothers that have the same father, but they have different mothers. So she might be the mother of the husband, but when it comes to the yavam, his brother, well, she's not related to him. So she's not a shnia to the yavam. The question is, yesh lo ksuvam yavam oy loy. Is the woman, is the widow entitled to receive a ksuba from the yavam or not? And now the analysis. Aleph, the first side suggests, kevon di omar mar, since it has been said, ksubasa al nichse baylo harishon, less law. That a woman's ksuba, even if she becomes a widow and a yavama, the payment is made from the property of the original husband. So that even if she's married by his brother, her ksuba is to be paid from the deceased husband's properties. So do we say that since the expectation for her ksuba is to be paid from the first husband's properties, and since she was usher to the first, to the husband, to the initial husband, she will get nothing, Oidilma, or Kevon de Ilu Les Law Me Rishon, Tokinu Lo Rabonon Misheni, since there is a rule that says that if a husband dies leaving no properties, and she is then married by the Yavam, so the Rabbonin institute that she should receive a ksuba from the surviving brother, from the Yavam, so that it shouldn't be so easy for her to be divorced by the Yavam. So therefore, since that potential exists, in this case, Isla, she will get a ksuba. She'll get a ksuba from the Yavam. So that was the question that was presented by the B'nai Biri to Rav Sheshes. Omar Luhu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responds, Tanisuha, try to derive your answer from the following Tanaic source. It says, Ksubasa al nichse bailo harishon, a woman's ksuba, when she becomes a Yavama, is nevertheless paid from the estate of the first husband. V'imhoisa shnia labal, if she happened to be forbidden to the original husband, afilu miyavam einlo, even from the Yavam she will not get. So the source is fairly clear. She does, a woman who was a shnia to the husband and not a shnia, not prohibited to the Yavam, nevertheless she does not get a ksuba. At this point, the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, answered their question. The Gemara, though, asks on the language found in this source. The language, when it says in this source, Afilu Miyavam Einla, it's saying that in this case, she doesn't get a ksuba payment from the Yavam. Mechlal, the Gemara asks, Di'ika, Di'islav Miyavam, are there women that do get ksuba payments from the Yavam? The Yavam is not expected to pay the ksuba to the wife. Now, we take a look at the Rashi, Mechlal Dika di Islam Yavam, Bitmiya, you read that with a tone of wonderment. Klomar, Bayon Ifshita. The question that the B'nai Biri asked of Rav Sheshes was answered, that if a woman is a shnia to the Baal and not a shnia to the Yavam, she does not get a ksuba. Miha, Lishna de Braisa Kasha, the language of the Braisa presents a difficulty. Dikotoni, it says in this Braisa, Afilu Miyavam Einla. Umashma mi dikotoni Afilu, from the fact that it says here, even from the Yavam, Mechlal Diiko Yavama Achriti Diis Lo Ksuba Miyavam. That would imply that there are other cases where a Yavama does receive the Ksuba from the Yavam. Vokotoni Reisha, but the Reisha says Ksubasa Al Nichse Bailo Harishon, that the Ksuba payment is from the estate of her, of the deceased, the first husband. So the Gemara answers, Chisure Mechasura Vachiktoni. The source that we read was abbreviated, and there should be more information to be understood as follows. Ksubasa al nichse bailo rishon. When a woman is left a widow, and she is going to marry the brother of her deceased husband, she gets paid her ksuba from the estate of the first husband. V'i les law me rishon. If, and this is information that we did not see in the original source, but here this is what's added. If there was no property owned by the first husband, Tokinu Lo Misheni, then there is a rabbinic institution that the Yavam is to pay her ksuba. V'im hoiso shnia labal, afilu miyavam ein la. However, if the marriage to the first husband was a forbidden marriage, a rabbinically forbidden marriage, as she was a shnia, well then, even from the Yavam, she will not get anything. Another question, note that this is a long question. Bo mine Rabbi Elazar me Rabbi Yochanan. Almona l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hetyo. Yesh lahen mezoinois o ein lahen mezoinois. Now, we should just point out that in the Mishnah, back on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, at the end of the Mishnah, these cases of Almona l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hetyo were mentioned, and the Mishnah concluded by saying Yesh Lohen Ksuba, there is a basic Ksuba payment that these women, even though we're dealing with forbidden marriages and they happen to be forbidden on a Torah level, but the Ksuba payment is something they would receive in the event that they become a widow or are divorced. The question here is, do these women, or are these women entitled to mizonos. Mizonos literally is food, the obligation a husband has to feed his wife. So the question is concerning these forbidden marriages, do they have mizonos? Oein lahem mizonos. Hechidomi. In order to understand this better, we go through a couple of stages of analysis of what are the circumstances. So the double underline you see highlights the different possibilities. Hechidomi, what are we talking about here? Ilemo diyasva to say, if you're talking about a woman that is living together with her husband, namely the almona is living with the kohen gadol, or the grusha, the divorcee, is living with a kohen hedyot, a regular kohen, that they're in the same house, they're dwelling together. Well, no, in such a case, the Gemara says there's no havamina that we would expect her to receive mizonos. She is expected to be divorced from him. Be'amoid v'hoitzei koi. She is desired on the part of halacha to be distanced and sent away from him. Mizonos isla? Would you think that she should receive mizonos? Mizonos, if anything, would cause her to continue being with him. After all, she's receiving support from him. Loi tzrichono, the case under question is shaholachul midyasayam, where the husband is not there with her. He has gone abroad. The love sov yachla, and she borrowed money in order to maintain herself. Mai. So the question is, what about paying the lender for the mizonos that he was providing for this woman? So the Gemara goes on, Mai, and two sides of the question. We have the Aleph O Dilma Bays structure. Mizoni equals Tanai Ksuboninu. Do we say that mizonos are a condition, a stipulation that is part of the Ksuba? As we saw in the Mishnah, she has a ksuba. She's entitled to the basic ksuba payment, which says that a woman who is either divorced or widowed, she receives a certain quantity of money from her husband's estate. So we know that an almona l'kohen gadol and a grusha chutz kohen hedyot from the Mishnah Pei Daled, they receive a ksuba. So the other, we'll say, attached factors, the attached elements to a ksuba, the tnai ksuba, which includes support. So she gets that too. Again, we read that, midislo ksuba islamazoni. Since it's what? Tnai ksuba. Oidilma, or possibly there's a fundamental difference. The payment, the ksuba payment, ksuba de la mishkal umepak isla. The ksuba payment is paid when the couple split apart. It's when he divorces her, or of course when he dies, he's forced apart from her from heaven. So it's a payment made. It's a payment associated with separation that she gets mizoni. However, to receive mizonos, dilma te'akiv gabei. If anything, that's going to cause her to remain by this forbidden husband. So that kind of payment, less law, that she should not get. And if that be the case, if she borrowed money for her mizono, so then the lender won't get paid back. She doesn't have that coming to her in the first place. Omar le, less law. So Rabbi Yochanan answers. This was Rabbi Elazar's question posed to Rabbi Yochanan, so he answers, no, she does not get. V'ha tanyo yeshla, but we've learned that she does get. Ki tanya hi, when that was taught, the achar misa, that if the husband, the forbidden husband, died without divorcing her, so she gets mizonos from his estate, as any widow gets when her husband dies. And here there's no gezerah for her delaying by him. He's no longer there. He's dead. Is the Omar, another version of this discussion is as follows. Omar lay, Rabbi Yochanan answered Rabbi Elazar. When Rabbi Elazar asked him, does the Almona Kohen Gadol or the Grusha Chutzah get mizonos? He said, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tanya Yeshla, yes, she gets. Question, Ha ba'amod v'hotzei koi? Why should she get? That would only encourage her to remain by him. So she shouldn't get. Ah, veil of Tanya Yeshla, but we have a source that says she does get mizonos. Ki Tanya Hahi, that source that says she gets mizonos, Liachar Misa. That's after the forbidden husband dies, then she can draw a payment for mizonos from his estate. Tonu Rabbanan. Almono Lekoyen Godol. Grusha Vachalutza Lekoyen Hedyo. Yesh Lo Ksuba. She gets the basic Ksuba payment, which we mentioned earlier. In the case of a regular marriage, that would be, if it's a woman that was never married before, she would get what's called 200 zuz. If it's an almona, here we have an example of a widow, she gets 100 zuz. So she has ksuba, peros, mizonos, blos. Peros, we explained in our previous year that if the husband was drawing fruit from her property, she can demand compensation for that. We take a look at Rashi, v'yeshlo peros, shafapi sha'achal sa peros, even though he consumed the peros, the fruit from properties that she brought into the marriage, kivan de'shelo kedin ochlan, sherei lo hoya lo ba nisuin me'olam, since he ate them improperly, because he shouldn't have been married to her to begin with. So, since he consumed the peros shelo kedin, she gets compensation for that. The Gemara continues, blos, that means that if she brought into the marriage clothing, men's suits, and he wore them, and they get worn out, they're called blos. She receives them in return. Vehi psula, she is rendered unfit to the kahuna. That would be certainly in the case of the almona, who married a kohen gadol, whereas before her marriage to the kohen gadol, she would have been fit to marry another kohen. Through marriage with the Kohen Gadol, she becomes unfit. Uvlada apostle, her child is considered a cholol, and that's the case of either the child from a monot with a Kohen Gadol or a grusha that marries a Kohen Hedyo. The Kohen Oisoi Lahotzi, and we force him to divorce her. Shnios Midivrei Sofrim. Now another category, and you can see we've called this Roman number two. These are women that are forbidden to their husbands on a rabbinic level. Ein lo ksuba. She doesn't get a ksuba payment from in the event that he dies or divorces her. Lo peros, lo mezonos, velo blois. She gets none of these items. Vehi ksheira. The woman who is a shnia, if she remains kosher to marry a kohen, uvlada kosher, the child is considered acceptable, is kosher, he's not a cholol. The kofen oisoi lahitzi, in this matter, it's similar to the first category, we do force him to divorce her. Omar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, mipneima omru almona l'kohen gadol yesh lo ksuba. Why was it said that the almona married to kohen gadol gets a ksuba? Mipnei shehu posul v'hi psula. He is posel. That means that a man who marries a woman in sin, so he's considered unfit until he vows to not benefit from her. That's as far as his being posel. She is psula. That's because she had married a man that she shouldn't have married. In the realm of kahuna, a woman who violates the rules of kahuna and marries a woman who shouldn't marry a kohen and does, she becomes rendered unfit. She becomes a chalola. V'chol makom shehu pasul v'hi psula. And wherever you have a situation where both he and she are considered psulim, disqualified, unfit, the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, konsu oisoi ksuba. What does that mean? Konsu oisoi ksuba. We insist on his paying her a ksuba. And that's the explanation of why in the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol, she will get a ksuba. Now Rashi on the top adds, konsu oisoi ksuba, klomar, lo konsu ha mishar kol anashim. We don't fine her or deprive her any more than any other woman, and other women are entitled to a ksuba. She gets a ksuba as well. V'hai de konsu rabbonon, l'shnia ksuba, but that which we, in the case of a shnia, a woman who was forbidden rabbinically to marry that husband, and there we say she loses her ksuba, kedei shelo tisake vetzlo hu. That's in order that she shouldn't remain with him. The kevan de lo teve lo ksuba mine, since she doesn't get a ksuba from him, shafkale venafka, she figures I've got nothing to gain from this husband, I'll leave him. Avol hocha lo tzarch, but in the case of the almona l'kohen gadol, there we don't have to make her lose the ksuba. De vemelo shafkale, she's going to leave him anyway. The kevan de hu nifsal al yoda, since he, by being married to her, becomes disqualified. He can't serve as a kohen when he's married to her. Yesh k'tota b'neim, there will be strife between them. There will be fights. V'chein k'shihi nifseles al yodo, and likewise where she becomes ruined by being with him. So there's no, they're going to separate anyway. So there's no need for our rabbinic intervention in depriving her of the ksuba. So that from this it would appear then that if they're going to split up anyway, it's not going to last. So she gets the ksuba. There's no need to build in any motivation. But in the case where they would have remained together, where she doesn't become rendered unfit to the kuna, as is the case where she's married to a shnia, so in order to motivate her to leave him, we deprive her of the ksuba. And then she would start to reason, well, I'm not going to get anything from him anyway, I might as well leave. And that's what we want. The Gemara continues at the top line, with Neima Omru Shnios Midivrei Sofrim Ein Lahen Ksuba. Why was it said that in the case of the Shnio marriage she loses her Ksuba? That Nei Shuhu Kosher Vehi Ksheira, because he remains kosher, she remains kosher. The Chomokom Shuhu Kosher Vehi Ksheira, where he remains acceptable and she is a kosher, they don't have any motivation to split up, do they? So Kansu Osal Ksuba, the rabbis find her and tell her she's going to lose the Ksuba. She is because she married this man that in fact doesn't render her unqualified or disqualified, therefore we're going to make you lose the Ksuba so that you should want to leave him. Rebbe Oimer Halolu Divrei Torah. The Almona L'Kohen Gadol is a prohibition on a Torah level. V'divrei Torah ein tzrichim chizuk. When it comes to Torah level laws, we don't have to strengthen the Torah prohibition. It stands on its own. The Torah has its own inherent merit and strength. Therefore, we don't have to change what is the ordinary case in marriages. And therefore, she receives a ksuba. However, v'halalu divrei sofrim. The case of the shnios are, divrei sofrim means rabbinic laws, rabbinic prohibitions. V'divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk, and in order to and maintain the rabbinic prohibition to give it strength, so the rabbis add teeth to it, so to speak, and that is in the form of her losing her ksuba. Dovar acher. Another explanation. Zehu margila, vezu hi margila so. Let's take a look at Rashi to appreciate these expressions. On the first narrow line, zehu margila, the husband entices her to remain with him. Where do we have that? Almona l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hetyot, hu margila umasita linoselo. He, the man, is said to be the one to try to seduce her to marry him. In other words, she has a lot to lose by marrying him. And therefore, she's not viewed as the root of the problem. So therefore, where he is causing her to seduce her to be with him, as is the case with the Almona Kohen Gadol, the Grusha Chutz L'Kohen Hetyot, so he's the cause of the problem, so he is expected to pay. That's the idea of yesh lo ksuba. Vizu shnia, in the case of the shnia, the kevan delo ihi mifsala v'lav zara mifsal, she doesn't get ruined in that type of forbidden relationship. A child that she bears is not called a cholol, he's not ruined either, so she has nothing to lose. So we say that since she's not nifsala and the zera is not nifsala, zera the children are not nifsala, v'lo mafsido midi b'vi osoi, she doesn't lose anything by the intimacy with him. He margila so. She is then viewed as the one to pressure him into staying, into marrying her. Shoisha roitza linosa yosim inoish. It's the way of women as being more desirous of marriage than men. So we're, because of this principle of he roitza linosa yosim inoish, she is considered the guilty party. And as such, so we want her to lose out. This last explanation, the Dovar Acher, becomes the subject of the Gemara's discussion now. The Gemara asks, Dovar Acher man kotoni lo. Who is the author of this expression? Now, in the Tanaic source we just read, we had highlighted the names Reb Shimon Elazar and the name, and he was found on the second line from the bottom of Omid Aleph, and we also highlighted four lines from the top, Rebbe's name. Who in this Mishnah is writing this Zehu Margila Vazu Margila So? You can see that we have triangles, and these triangles represent two approaches as to how this got into the source. Who authored this? Who put this in the source? So, Ika Diamri, some say Rosh Shimon Elazar Kotoni La, Umatam Komar. The explanation of Zehu Margila is an elaboration, an offering of an explanation to that which was said earlier. So that we should just note that on the second line from the bottom, we saw Rabbi Shimon Elazar saying that Naima Omru Amon Kohen Gadol Yeshlo Ksuba, and he went on to say that Neishu Posel V'Ipsula. So now, with that in mind, we're going to read the framed section now of Gemara as being the way the source would be understood if you follow this approach, that the Dovar Acher is authored by Rav Shimon Elazar. Ma tam omru hu pasul v'hi psula konsu oisoi ksuba. Why is it that when he is rendered unfit or disqualified and she is rendered unfit, do we make him pay the ksuba? Because in a case like that, Nidnei Shehu Mar Gila, he is causing her to stay with him. He is seducing her. He is seducing her to be with him. After all, she is losing a lot by marrying him. She becomes disqualified from the kuna. In the case of an almona to a kohen gadol, the children that are born are going to be halolim. So what's keeping her there? It's him. And therefore, that's the reason why he has to pay the ksuba. Uma, in other words, when a person has to pay, so it's going to reduce his enthusiasm of trying to keep her, to trying to seduce her into marrying him. Uma tam hu kosherik sheira konsu osa ksuba. Why, in the case where he remains kosher and she remains kosher, there's no disqualification, as is the case in the shnios, do we say she should lose the ksuba? Nay, Shehi Margila, so because she is the one that's trying to seduce him to marry her. So that what we just did is we took the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar earlier in the Tanaic source and attached to them this the end of the Tanaic source and explained that the expressions Zehu Margila Vazuhi Margila so are explanations of what he, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, had said earlier. Ika di Omar, Rebbe kotoni lo. Another version has Rebbe being the author of this Dovar Acher section. V'chalutza kokashile, and the issue of a chalutza presented a problem for Rebbe. Now, let's go over what Rebbe had said. Rebbe said that when you're dealing with something that's osur midoraisa, like the case of Almon El Kohen Gadol, she'll get the ksuba because we don't have to strengthen Torah laws. Things that are prohibited on a rabbinic level, so there we make her lose the ksuba and in order to strengthen the rabbinic law. So that according to Rebbe's initial explanation or presentation, The lines were clearly drawn between that which is doraisa, when it's a doraisa prohibited marriage, she gets the ksuba. When it's rabbinic prohibited, she does not get the ksuba. And Rebbe then thought about the case of the chalutza. What happens in the case of the chalutza? So we said in the Tanaic source, grusha v'chalutza, a woman who had received, who had done chalitza and then marries a kohen. This is something that's prohibited. It happens to be prohibited on a rabbinic level. According to Rebbe's rule, if something is prohibited on a rabbinic level, that is reason for the woman to lose the ksuba. But we saw that the chalutza gets a ksuba. So this is what bothered Rebbe. The ha chalutza de rabbanon. The prohibition of a kohen to marry a chalutza is a rabbinic level prohibition. If she participated in a shoe removal ceremony with her brother-in-law, that renders her forbidden on a rabbinic level. So according to Rebbe's original rule, when there's a rabbinic prohibition, the woman should lose the ksuba. And yet, in the case of chalutza, which is the rabbanon v'isla ksuba, and she gets the ksuba. Hodar Omar, then Rebbe came up with a new explanation. Kevon de posil la mitruma de rabbanon, since she becomes rendered unfit on a rabbinic level from receiving truma, so she has what to lose. Therefore, why is she marrying him? Zehu margila. It must be because he is seducing her. Once again, since she has what to lose, so why is she marrying this guy? It must be that he is seducing her, and therefore there must be a ksuba payment. Again, this is in order to ultimately deter him from wanting to marry her. Vizu he margilos. So in the case of the shnios, though, she is the one that is trying to influence him to marry her. My Ika Bain Rebbe the Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. What is the difference between the approach taken by Rebbe that concerning the issue of ksuba payment drew the line between Doraisa versus the Rabbanan, and Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, who drew the line, we'll assume right now, using the analysis of Margila versus Margilo. We have introduced this section of Gemara with a note on the side where you see the Nosei Mivneh heading and the diamond is featured. We're going to do a chipus, a search, achar hevdel, seeking out a difference, bein ahesberim shel Rebbe, Rebbe's explanation as to why in the one case there is a ksuba payment, the other case no. Shechilek bein nisuin hu asur midoraisa lielu shasur midorabanan. Rebbe made that distinction where if it's asur midoraisa, we say she gets a ksuba, and where it's asur midorabanan, we see that she does not. The Reb Shimon ben Elazar, his explanation, according to one version of the Gemara, was shechilek bein shehu margila lebein shehi margila so, where he is trying to seduce her into the marriage versus where she is trying to seduce him into the marriage. You'll see that we also use a double underline from time to time to highlight the names, the main parties in our discussion, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So now we continue in the Gemara. After the Gemara having raised the question of my Iko Bain Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omar Rav Chisda Mamzeres Unesino Yisrael Iko Binayhu. Take a case of a marriage of a illegitimate woman, a Mamzeres, to a regular Jew, or a Nesina, which is also a type of woman from the Nesinim people that are prohibited to marry into the Jewish people. Ma domar doraisa, the one who says that the prohibition is when there is a prohibition on a Torah level. So these are examples of marriages that are prohibited on a Torah level. and therefore she would get a ksuba. Ma domar mebnesha hu mar gila, according to the explanation that said it depends on who is seducing. Well, in this kind of marriage of a mamzeres to a Yisrael, ha, he margalole, you can rest assured that she would be the one that's trying to seduce him into marrying her. If we take a look at the Rashi, ha, he margalole, hayo vi'eno grua machmoso, she's not going to lose out anything by marrying him. She's already totally illegitimate. She's totally forbidden to marry into the Jewish rank and fold. So she's not losing out anything by marrying him. Tarchu mahachuli nos Yisrael, she's going to go out of her way to try to marry a Yisrael. She has what to gain, actually. Kedei la'aloi zara, in order to benefit her offspring. The Afagav, the Beno Nami Mamzer, even though her son will also be a Mamzer, the Kaimalon Halochachar Psulon, and when you have a marriage of problematic individuals, we follow, in order to determine the identity of the offspring, we follow the most disqualified individual, the person on the lowest level. And that's the, and in this case, she's a mamzeres, he's a Yisrael. So the child will take on her characteristics, will be a mamzer. Afilu hachi, kevon ti'iko takanta le mamzerim k'Rabbi Tarfon. Since if you follow Rabbi Tarfon's approach to mamzerus, there is a solution for the next generation. Di'omar b'kiddushin yichodu mamzerim li'toyer. Mamzerim can actually benefit their children. Torcho mitzvot Yisrael. What is she's going to do? She's going to have a child, a mamzer, but her son will be able to marry a shivcha, a maidservant. And according to Rabbi Tarfon, the child is then takes on the maidservant characteristic, which is apparently a lower level even than a mamzer, and the child of a maidservant becomes a slave. But a slave has the potential of rising to the highest level if he is freed. So that if you analyze the issue of ksuba, depending on who is the seducer into maintaining or initiating and maintaining such a marriage, in the case of the mamzeres to the Yisrael, she will be the one. And therefore, that would be reason for her to not receive a ksuba. Just to go over this very last point, in the case of the mamzeres to the Yisrael, she is the one that has what to gain. The Gemara asks, "Ulu Rebbe Eliezer diomar?" According to Rebbe Eliezer, who says diomar hare ze eved mamzer, there is actually we have to just make a slight correction in what we said before by way of the markings. The names that are underlined are these names represent the beginning of questions. So they're questions on each Hesber that preceded each one. So here we're going to be asking a question on the Hesber that Rav Chisda just gave us. So now, according to the Tano Rebbe Eliezer, that said when a Mamzer marries an Eved, we made reference to Rabbi Tarfon's solution to Mamzerus by a Mamzer marrying a Shivcha. However, there is another Tano that disagrees with that. And Rabbi Eliezer is he that says, Hare zeh eved u'mamzer. A Mamzer that marries a Shivcha, the child born from that is called a Mamzer slave. So that our Mamzerus before... Where Rav Chisda said the Mamzeres that marries Yisrael will be a point of difference, not so according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. She has nothing to gain, so that you wouldn't be able to say that she is the seducer, she is the one trying to motivate the marriage, so that since she's not the one, she deserves to receive the ksuba, and then there would be no point of difference between the explanation given by Rebbe versus the explanation given above by Reb Shimon ben Elazar. It's Doraisa, so she gets the ksuba. She's not seducing, he's then assumed to be seducing, so then she also gets the ksuba. So what's the point of difference? So let's just read this question again. Ula Rebbe Eliezer, Diomar Hareze Eved Mamzer, Holo Margulole Velo Midi. She's not seducing him, the Yisrael, to be in the marriage. Elo Omar of Yosef. So Rav Yosef comes up with a point of difference between the Doraisa Drabonan approach versus the Margulah approach. Rav Yosef says, Machsir Grushoso Mishenises Iko Binayu. A man who divorced his wife, and after the divorce she went and married another man. That's Mishenises. She married another man. And then the original husband takes her back. Why? Because the second husband divorced her or died. That's prohibited by the Torah. A man is not allowed to take her back. Let's say he did. Does she get a ksuba? So, man diomar doraisa, honami doraisa. According to the approach that says when you have an isur doraisa marriage that's prohibited by the Torah, such a marriage results in the woman getting her ksuba, so she'll get a ksuba. According to the approach that says that he pays a ksuba because he is trying to seduce her into the marriage, and therefore he should lose out, but but in this case, she is the one that is trying to seduce him into taking her back. The Gemara asks, Ula Rebbe Akiva, Diomar, Yesh Mamzer Mechayve Lavin. If a relationship is prohibited on even a mere negative command level, and not a Kores, severe type of prohibited marriage, but a Lav marriage. Lav means negative command. Don't confuse by the word Lav with the English word love. Love can corrupt into resulting in a marriage of a lav, that is true. But Rabbi Kiva says that mamzerus, illegitimate children, are those that are born even from mere chiyuve lavin. So in the case of machzir grushoso, this woman that's prohibited to be taken back by her husband, is she going to want to have children that are mamzerim? Of course not. So ha lo margulah levelomidi, she's not going to try to have seduce him into taking her back. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be that the case of the Machzir Grushoso Mishenises would not be a point of difference. They're both in both cases she would get the ksuba because it's doraisa, and secondly she's not going to be motivating him to take her back. She has everything to lose. She has children that are going to be mamzerim. Elo Amar Rav Popo, Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol Ika Binayu. A Kohen Gadol, as we've mentioned very, very often in the past shiurim, is quite limited in whom he can marry. He has to marry a woman that has never been married, and that she is a besula, a virgin. If he marries, a Kohen Gadol marries a woman that lost her virginity, even if she was never married, but she lost her virginity, she's called Be'ula. She is forbidden to the Kohen Gadol to the tune of an Aseh. A positive command is being violated. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol must, in a positive fashion, must marry a virgin. If he doesn't, so he's violating that positive command. Now, at this point, there does not seem to be any issue of Mamzerus. Rabbi Akiva was brought into the discussion, and we're working now within Rabbi Akiva. We're assuming right now there's no Mamzerus from a Chiyuv Aseh. So this will be a point of difference. Man diomar doraisa, honami doraisa. If a Kohen Gadol married a Be'ula, he'll have to provide her with a ksuba because that's a Torah level violation. And according to Rebbe, who says that if it's a Torah level violation, she gets a ksuba, so he'll have to give her a ksuba. Uman diomar mipnei shu margila, according to the approach that suggests that if she is seducing him into marrying her, if he is seducing her into marrying her, shumargila, well, ha he margulole, in this case she will be seducing him into it, and therefore she should lose the ksuba. we should point out that she is going to try to seduce him into the marriage. We pointed out there's not going to be any mamzerus issue. And another important point is that the child in a Kohen Gadol who marries a Be'ula, the child will not be a Cholol either. A Cholol is a child disqualified from the Kahuna. So if we make that assumption, she's got nothing to lose. Therefore, she is going to be the one to try to motivate him to marry her, and therefore she should lose the Ksuba. So here you would have a point of difference. Question: Ula Rebbe Lozer ben Yankiv Di Omar Yesh Cholol Mechayve Asay. He says that Chololus, a child that's called a Cholol, will result even if a mere Asay is violated. So her child will be disqualified from the Kuna. Holo Margolo Le Velo Midi. So the Be'ula wouldn't be seducing the Kohen Gadol into marrying her. So therefore, she deserves her ksuba. So we wouldn't have the Be'ula Kohen Gadol as a point of difference, because it's on the Doraisa side of things she gets a ksuba, and on the seduction side of things, well, she's not going to be seducing him, so she deserves her ksuba as well. Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Machzir Sofek Soitosoi Iko Binayu. A sota is a married woman. And when we use the term sofek sota, referring to a married woman whom we are in doubt as to whether she engaged in extramarital relations. When that comes up, so if you have a husband that warned her not to be with so and so, some other guy, and the husband, after warning her, it then turned out that she was in private with him, there's an iser doraisa for that husband to be with her, with his wife. This Isor basically lasts until she is brought to the Beis HaMikdosh and drinks from the special water that is presented to her there for the Soto ceremony. So there's an Isor Doraisa for a husband to be with her. What about her receiving a ksuba from him in this state of affairs? The term affairs just used is a pun, certainly could be assumed there, but let's leave that aside for now. So Rav Ashi says this case of a husband who is taking as his wife or staying with his wife when she is in this state of doubt, we don't know whether she was engaged in actual intimacy with another guy. Iko binayu. That will be the point of difference. Mandomer doraisa, honami doraisa. According to Rebbe's approach that says that when you're dealing with an isur doraisa, so here's a husband who's together with his wife on a Torah level, prohibition level. So she would get the ksuba if he divorces her. Mandomer b'nei shehu margila, according to the analysis that says that if he's causing her to be with him, so he has to pay her the ksuba. Ha, he margalale. In this case, she is the one that is seducing him to be with her. Ularav Masya ben Chorosh, the Omar, afilu holach bailo lahashkoi subola baderech, asa zoyna. A husband who is on his way to bring his suspect wife to drink, Lashkos is to drink the waters in the Beis HaMikdash, and he can't control himself, and he has intimacy with his wife. It was prohibited for him to have intimacy before her drinking of the waters in the Beis HaMikdash that would have checked her out. And he did anyway. He had relations. She becomes a zona. A zona is one of the different types of women, one of the different categories of women that are prohibited to the kahuna. With assuming this label now as zona, she loses out eventually of ever marrying a kohen. So she has what to lose. Ha lo margalo le velo midi. She's not going to seduce him into being with her. Therefore, on those grounds, on those grounds, we can't say that the case that Rav Ashi presented would be a point of difference. Just to go over this point again, the suffix, the situation of machzor suffix saita, where a husband cohabits with his wife after she fell into suspicion, it's an isur d'oraisa. So on those grounds, he has to pay the ksubo. And on the grounds that she's going to seduce him into being with him, that's not so. She's going to become a zona. So what's the point of difference between those two explanations of the Doraisa explanation versus the Margula explanation? Ela Omar Mor Barav Ashi, Soita Vadai Iko Binayu. Soita Vadai is simply a case of a married woman that we know was Mizane, that we know that she was immoral with another man, other than her husband. There's no drinking in the Beis HaMikdash for a case like that. Not only that, but she's prohibited to her husband, as we saw earlier in the case of the Suffolk Soto. Here she's certainly prohibited to her husband. So on the grounds of the relationship being an Isur Doraisa, there's an Isur Doraisa here. When he divorces her, he would have to pay the ksuba. On the grounds of Margula lay, so in a case of a woman who was with another man, and she is the one that's going to try to seduce him into marrying her, into staying with her. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Sota Vadai. Eishes Eishes Insa. Dasiru Le Medoraisa. Kirichti Vilo Nisposa. The mashma hoyov alone and sasura, from the pasuk that says that v'hi lo nisposa, which means she wasn't raped. We learn, a woman that wasn't raped but rather was a willing partner in immorality, so she is also to her husband. The Mishnah. Notice on the side we have a topic heading, and we've presented a topic heading in a broad sense. Noshim shoynois v'dinom legabi achilas truma umaiser. Different types of women and the laws that apply to them as to their meriting eating of truma or meiser. And the meiser discussed here will be meiser rishon, which is given to Leviim. Bas Yisrael. Muresis Lekoyen, Muberes Mikoyen, Shomeres Yovam Lekoyen, a woman who comes from a regular Yisrael family as opposed to a Kohen family. So a Bas Yisrael that is betrothed unto a Kohen, she's pregnant from a Kohen, or she is she's a widow waiting for her husband's brother, a Kohen, to marry her. V'chein Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, likewise a daughter of a Kohen. Now, as a single girl, the daughter of a Kohen eats truma from her father's house. But here we have her as a Bas Kohen that might be mureses to Yisrael, or pregnant from Yisrael. Loi toichal betruma. In all of these cases, the woman is not entitled to eating truma. Rashi points out something that we've learned in the past. Part of the rules are that ha'ubar va'yavam va'erusin, a pregnancy, a fetus, a yavam and erusin are poislin v'lo ma'achilin. They render a woman unfit from eating truma, and they do not. That would be a case of a bas kohen would not be able to eat from the truma of her father's house, and v'lo ma'achilin, if it's a bas Yisrael, she's not granted truma rights by the fact that she has these different kinds of connection to a Kohen. The Mishnah continues, Bas Yisrael mureses lelevi, muberes milevi, shomeres yavam lelevi. V'chein bas levi li Yisrael, loy soichal b'maiser. Bas levi mureses lekohen, muberes mikohen, shomeres yavam lekohen. V'chein bas kohen lelevi. So here you have on the two sides of the equation, the man and the woman, you've got people that ordinarily would have special rights. Late Leviim eat Meiser, Kehanim eat Truma, and in this case, lo and behold, lo tocha lo betruma velo b'meiser. A double disqualification. The Gemara asks, regarding the prohibition of Meiser, we're saying she's prohibited from eating Meiser. Let's take the case of a Bas Levi that is Mureses to a Kohen. Or we saw Bas Levi Mureses to a Yisrael. She can't eat from Meiser. Utehei Zora. Let her be no less than a Zora. Zora is a non-Levi. A non-Kohen, non-Levi. A regular Yisrael. Regarding Meiser, Zora mi lo achla b'Meiser. Does a Zar not eat from Meiser? We know that Truma is off-limits to non-Kohanim. That's known. But Meiser Rishon, as far as the general accepted opinion, Meiser Rishon does not have any level of holiness that we associate with Truma. So why can't a Zar, even if she were viewed as a Zar, why couldn't she eat from the Meiser? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Homani, our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Rebbe Meir he. The Omar Meiser Rishon Osir Lazarim. The Tana, Rebbe Meir, happens to have this very restrictive approach and says that Meiser Rishon is off limits to non-Leviim. Desanya. We continue at the top of Daf Pei Vav. We have a Tanaic source in which you see a Machlokes Tanaim, Truma La Kohen, Umeiser Rishon LeLevi, Divrei Rebbe Meir. This is the Rebbe Meir we just cited. Truma is a gift to Kohanim, and it's exclusively to Kohanim. By the same token, Meiser Rishon is a gift to Leviim, it's a tithe given to Leviim, exclusively to Leviim. Just like a Truma to a Kohen is to a Kohen and not to a Zar, so too Meiser is given to a Levi and not to a Zar. So that if when the original question had been, let her be considered a Zar, and doesn't a Zar eat from Meiser Rishon? The answer to that is no. According to Rebbe Meir, a Zar does not eat from Meiser Rishon. Rebbe Elozer ben Azariah Matiro LaKohen. Rebbe Elozer ben Azariah, you can see he disagrees with Rebbe Meir and says that Meiser Rishon is not exclusively that of a Levi's, but it is mutter to give to a Kohen. The Gemara asks on this language, Matiro, Michlal Diko Manda Osar. When you say he is Matir giving it to Kohen, you're implying that there's someone that prohibits the Meiser Rishon being given to a Kohen. Rashi, across from here, says Michlal Diko Manda Osar Meiser LeKohen LeChol. Are you implying that someone will prohibit giving Meiser to a Kohen to eat? Bitmiha. Everyone will acknowledge that a Kohen is not considered a Zar. Just to go over this last point again, by Rebbe Elozer saying Matiro the Kohen, it gives us the impression that someone would forbid a Kohen from even eating Meiser Rishon. So because of this, the Gemara reacts, Michlal Dikoman Dosar, is there anyone that would prohibit a Kohen from eating Meiser Rishon? Elo Emo, rather say or understand, according to the Marsha, this isn't really a restatement and changing of the language, but rather it's a refining of the understanding of what Matiru Lekohen meant. It means Noisnoi Af Lekohen. So the point of difference between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Elozer would be, according to Rebbe Meir, you cannot give it to a Kohen, meaning when Meiser Rishon is being distributed, it's distributed only to Leviim. As far as a Kohen coming along and eating from it, that would be okay, as we just pointed out. But as far as the distribution is concerned, Rebbe Meir would say only to Leviim, and Rebbe Elozer is saying even to Kohanim. The Gemara will go on to analyze the opinions of Rabbi Meir and those that argue with him with regard to the general idea of Meiser Rishon, is it Mutter for Zorim or not? Amir Tzashem, this will be the subject with which we will pick up in our next shiur. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.